This baseball season, catch every game at Long Neck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Long Neck's. Long Neck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Long Neck's patio. Long Neck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
I was sending a tweet and eating peanuts. Normally, the verbiage we use is stand by. Sorry, Taryn, I got you. I'm good. We're fine. We're okay. John Ross wants to be traded. Bengals, maybe they'll trade him. The deadline is 13 days away. We spend a lot of time talking about somebody who's caught 51 passes in his career. And it's interesting to me. It illustrates how he has helped himself build a brand based on John Ross. Because whenever I send a tweet about John Ross, even if it doesn't directly mention John Ross, I tweeted that today. That we're spending a lot of time talking about somebody who's got 51 catches, inevitably, invariably. I get people clapping back at me, well, you and James Rapine, and I go, hey, hang on a second. I jumped off that train a while ago. My man James, however, full on the John Ross Express. And so, because we're talking about John Ross today, you have to have James Rapine on the air. It is, Taryn said it to me this afternoon, John Ross is in the news. Got to get on James, who is covering the Bengals for Sports Illustrated. AllBengals.com is the website. He also is a part of like 1,000 different Bengals podcasts, and he's obviously on Twitter as well, at James Rapine, All Bengals under the SI umbrella. And he's also getting, I think, some money as John Ross's agent. So it's nice to have you here as always. What's going on?
What's up, Mo? How you doing? I appreciate the introduction.
No problem at all. It's good to have you. It's good to have you. First of all, they should go ahead and just trade him, right?
Sure. They don't. You saw it Sunday. Let's just go back to Sunday. Obviously, it was a trio of receivers in AJ, who had his best game of the year, Tyler Boyd, who's their best player on offense right now, and T. Higgins, who continues to break out and flash. But that fourth receiver spot has been awful the past 2 weeks. And Mike Thomas fumbled 2 weeks ago, last week, or on Sunday, rather. It's, I guess, technically this week, had a couple drops. And so at some point I was like, okay, we're going to see John. And you didn't. And he was in for one play. It was a run play. No one remembers it. I'm shocked I remember it. I don't even know if John remembers it. And so if you're not going to use him, then you might as well trade him for something, even if it's a conditional seventh, because what if he does play enough snaps to get you that pick? So, yeah, if they don't have any plans to incorporate him in the offense, then why is he on the roster? Why is he taking up space? Why is he getting in the way? And, that's the reality of it, and I think there's a lot of reasons behind it, and I think you'll ask me that next, so I'll shut up and listen.
Well, so, no, here's the one thing I'll say about not trading him. AJ played fine on Sunday, more than fine. He was really, really good. At the same time, there's been a lot of moving parts at the wide receiver spot, and AJ, every time he gets hit, I hold my breath. I think he's going to have a hard time getting up. He's an aging player who hasn't been that good. I would listen to the argument that says, well, you got to have some depth. You got to have some backups. You got to have an insurance policy, especially against AJ Green getting hurt. What I would say to that, though, is that insurance policy is not very good if the insurance policy is John Ross.
See, and here's the thing, is correct based on stats, right? 2 receptions, 17 yards, the deep ball week 1, the crossing route week 2, where he didn't realize the ball was coming to him, and that's certainly on John Ross. Like, he's inconsistent. But we know that. No doubt about it. He's had some drops. He's had some issues. But the problem is, and I think there's at least decent chunk of the fan base that thinks this. It's not just me, probably the one media member who thinks it. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the standard is for him versus, like I said, a Mike Thomas, who clearly Zach Taylor loves. He had a couple drops this week. And then got the slant for a first down. Last week had the fumble. Could you imagine if John Ross fumbles and it was tripped and scored?
I don't want to be in your mentions if that happens.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah. those are the type of things, and so that's what leads me to maybe it is just time. And I get it. I've heard the argument. Two coaching staffs. At the same time, he did flash last year when healthy, before and after his injury. And I was hoping to get more than 7 targets from Joe Burrow. If I would have told you it's September 1st, John Ross is going to be targeted 7 times, stay healthy through 6 weeks, and be inactive for 3 of them. That would be a surprise, I would think, right? And so that's the part. It's not like you see him on reverses or end arounds or slants or anything like that. It's not just a deep ball with him. There are other things he can do, and we haven't seen any of those. And when you're a coach that scores 3 points in the second half of a game that you had a 21-point lead in and you were searching for answers, I wouldn't have minded seeing 11 out there more than 1 play.
Yeah, I mean, like, I see both ends of this. I certainly understand the, look, he's had multiple coordinators, 2 coaches, 4 years. Like, at some point, it's on the player. It's on John. It's an indictment against him. Mm-hmm. At the same time, for a team that should be desperate for any sort of contribution from anywhere on the roster, it is interesting to me that when he finally does dress, and I could certainly understand why he didn't the previous couple of games, when he finally does dress, he's that absent from the game plan. He's on the field for a snap. That is interesting to me, and it shows that to me reflects a few things. It's obviously a reflection of John Ross. I wonder what that says about the lack of creativity. I wonder what that says about the lack of outside thinking. I obviously wonder what it says about their desire to want to hang on to him if that is indeed the case. After the trade deadline.
And you do wonder, too, and maybe this is giving credit where credit isn't due, but what if they want to make sure he's healthy so they can move him? Because regardless of what he's done or hasn't done really this year, I think that you are going to get teams interested in that conditional type pick. Like, we'll give you a conditional 6th if he plays X amount of snaps the rest of the way. Something like that, because there are only going to be so many receivers available, so many guys that you can take on that aren't under contract long term, that don't have big money or anything like that, that you don't have to commit to. And so it would make a lot of sense to me for one of those teams to come calling, a contender. And so whether it's San Francisco, whether the Packers could certainly use a speedy receiver. I'm sure there's going to be some teams that are in the market for a receiver. And as far as receivers go, he's probably one of the cheapest ones on the market, so why not call? It might be as simple as you call about Green, the Bengals say no, and you're like, okay, well, what about 11? We'll give you a bag of chips for 11, and maybe Mike Brown will say yes.
Yeah, Mike Brown does like chips, so you never know. On top of all of that,
so Carlos Dunlap.
Yeah, Carlos Dunlap. Did you watch the – you had to do that. You had to write about Carlos Dunlap's Instagram thing?
Yeah, well, I didn't have to write about it, but I had to watch it just in case, What a waste of time that was. I was starving, too. So it was just, I was thinking about food the whole time. He's eating these kettle chips.
Yeah, I can understand that. I'm not the only person to say this by any stretch. It's time. Look, I understand what Carlos Dunlap has meant to the Bengals. I understand what Geno Atkins has meant to the Bengals. Those guys have been awesome. Huge parts of some of their best seasons. There is no sense in carrying this marriage between this team and either of those two players beyond today.
Well, you're cutting them today?
Yeah. What's the point? They're not helping you now. They're not a part of you long term. Neither are happy. One dude has stepped out a couple of different times to talk about how frustrated he is. He rolled, perhaps justifiably so, the head coach under the bus, talking about his miscommunication. What's the point in keeping those guys around?
Well, the first thing is who says they aren't helping you? Is it the coaching staff? And if so, is that coaching staff a part of your long-term plan?
That's a good question. But
that would be my question, because how much do you trust Zach Taylor and Luana Romo and insert whoever else right now? And maybe they have full trust and they're going to get a 3rd year. And all of these things, and it is just disgruntled veterans or Marvin's guys. But to me, and I saw this in Cleveland during my brief stint when they had 52 coaches coach the Browns for over an 18-month span, is you saw like John Dorsey, and it was, oh, no, those aren't his guys. He's got to go get his guys. And that's the last thing you want to see, and I hope we don't get to that point, but it certainly does feel like it, and I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's a previous regime thing, and it's unique. But, yes, on the surface, if Dunlap is a role player, and Atkins is a role player. And the Bengals coaches at least haven't admitted this on the record. It's been more of an injury thing, right? And he's coming back from injury. If they're role players, well, then they're the most overpaid role players maybe in Bengals history. So you gotta consider moving them if you can, but I don't think they have much or any value. You want to talk about not producing this year. You know, between the two of them, you have, I think it's 13 tackles and one sack, and those are all for Dunlap. So I get that argument, but we'll see. I certainly think that Dunlap wants out, and Geno's so quiet, I'm not sure what he wants, but I would certainly assume that Dunlap would love to be on a new team by November 4th.
I would wholeheartedly, yeah, that's obvious. The Geno Atkins thing, if there ever was a week that you would expect him to play a lot, it would have been last week when they're bringing in dudes, you know, at the last second they're playing guys that nobody has ever heard of in a game that they have to win, and the guy still plays only 18 snaps. And in those 18 snaps, you barely noticed he was on the field. Like, you're very fair in wondering if this coaching staff is going to be here for the long term. I don't trust Zach Taylor. I don't trust Lou Anarumo. Those guys have built up no equity. But I would also imagine that any new regime, if we do indeed go in that direction next year, and it's still hard for me to imagine they will, whatever the makeup of the coaching staff is next season, they're probably not going to want either of those guys either. Age and lack of productivity do become a factor.
For sure. And that's why you entertain. To me, in just thinking about it as we're talking, I wouldn't cut them dead. I would play them. And then worst case, you know, if you decide to go that route and you can't trade them, then fine. But the other aspect to this is, and you talk about trusting the coaches and whatnot. Yeah, if there was ever a game Geno was going to play significant snaps, even if he isn't on 100%, it was Sunday. So why did they roll with Christian Covington and Amani Bledsoe and Xavier Williams, who had just been signed 5 days or 6 days earlier, right? Is it a pride thing with the coaches? Are they trying to prove a point? Because to me, no matter what you say, 80% of Geno Atkins, even at this decline state of whatever, I think he's still better than those guys at the rate that they played and the snaps that they played. So, and that's just me. And so you really have to trust the coaching staff if you think, all right, Xavier Williams, a guy who was released by New England's practice squad, should be getting more snaps than Geno Atkins, even at 85%, because he's coming off of a shoulder injury.
Can't argue with that at all. Where would you and John Ross like to go? Like, if he's with another NFL team next year, will you go with him?
No, I will not. I will not go with him.
Still be on the Bengals beat?
No, of course. Okay. Come on now, Mom. Yeah, we're here. You're stuck with me for a little while.
That's fine. No, that's good. That's good for me, and that's great for everybody here. But you mean, if John is playing for another team, I didn't know if he was going to want you to be his bag man, and that's it either.
Here's what I want, because he's done himself no favors, and I can admit that. I would tell John that.
Sure.
But I just want to see him get a real. And you're going to say, well, he's been given dozens of chances, but, people are saying that right now, as I said, but a real shot. Just, if he has a drop, I see receivers have drops all the time. Guess what? They get the ball the very next play, the very next possession, and it's not the end of the world. And it feels like whatever he does, it's the end of the world here, and wherever he goes, it doesn't matter. I don't care, wherever.
Hey, when you and your buddies are looking for a place to watch baseball this season, how about Longneck Sports Grill? Each location has 4K TVs all over the place, so you'll never miss a pitch. The menu is so extensive that you can get something different every time you visit, and no place in Northern Kentucky has a better beer selection. There are locations in Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood, and when the weather is warm, there's nothing better than a spring night on Longneck's outdoor patio. This baseball season, Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.
I hope he actually gets a shot in that aspect, because I feel like that, and he hasn't said this to me, but I feel like that's a lot of weight to carry on your shoulders. And everyone feels it, from fans who would tweet you and tag me to media and whatnot, right? Like, anytime he does something, it's like, ooh, every time.
Do you feel responsible for that?
I don't know. I mean... No, actually, no.
Like,
does it feel to you
like what like folks sort of revel in John Ross not succeeding because it gives people a chance to needle you?
No, because I don't think I'm that. I don't think I move the meter like that. I think a lot of people made up their mind about Ross the night he was picked, And not because they wanted a quarterback, even though everyone talks about that now, because no one was saying that.
Nobody was saying they should take Patrick Mahomes. Nobody was.
Right. You know, but what they were saying is, they should take the linebacker who hasn't performed. Who took him? I don't know. He's in Washington now. I forget his name. It slipped my mind. And then, O.J. Howard, who flashed a little bit this year, but overall has been underwhelming in his knowledge. So, it's one of those things where I think people already have their mind made up, and I was so out there with it, like, oh, he's a stud.
Yeah.
That, you know, of course.
No, you danced on video. I still have it. You danced on video when they got John Ross. I was sitting in the chair that I'm in right now.
It was the right move.
Yeah. What about Billy Price?
At the time.
What about Billy Price?
No, I mean, Lamar Jackson was the move. How much does that change everything? I wonder, is John Ross the Marquise Brown to Lamar Jackson?
Wow.
You know? What? You're talking about 5'10 fast receivers. Well, yeah. Is he?
Maybe.
I don't know.
They should obviously trade Billy Price as well. This is what we're saying, correct?
I mean, sure, if you can get something. Like, that's the thing. Like, people compare Billy to John. At least John's had a couple good games. Has Billy ever been good?
No. No, I've watched John Ross catch touchdown passes. I've seen that with my own eyes. I've never watched Billy Price and thought, hey, light bulb is coming on for him.
And the thing with Billy, and I'm not trying to be mean because I do think he's a nice guy. And, you know, he's a backup center. And No, I actually don't think they're going to trade him because they don't view backup center as worthless. Like, I don't know who else would play center, whether that's fair or not. I don't see that. But I would trade him. That being said, has Billy been motion like Fred Johnson and a part of the offense like that? I mean, Jake Fisher did that. Fred Johnson did that. I mean, that's a very valuable part of the offense. And Billy hasn't even gotten there.
I haven't gotten the Billy Price's eligible play yet. No, that's a very good point. All right. I appreciate it. It's John Ross. Whenever John Ross is in the news, we're supposed to call you. It's part of the deal. So thanks. You got allbengals.com and then Locked On Bengals podcast, the Bengals Brawl podcast. Have you picked up a new one recently?
Every week I host Locked On NFL every Wednesday. So it's more of a national what's trending in the league podcast. But, you know, I was thinking you were going to ask me and have me on about my big Zach Taylor column about communication.
Oh, no. I'm glad you brought that up. This is good. Let's talk about this.
Which, you know, I like John, but man.
No, so let's do this because you're right. So here's my rub with the whole Zach Taylor communication thing. You can take the job and on day one beat everybody over the head with what a great communicator you're going to be and then be called out by a dude who's been in the NFL for a long time about being a crappy communicator. Like, in that regard, I'm very, very much Team Carlos Dunlap. Go ahead.
I don't think it's just Dunlap either, and that's the problem here. Like, I think it is Geno. I don't think you're going to see a report that Geno's frustrated too if he knew he was going to play on third down mostly only on Sunday, right? I think there's a lack of communication with John. I think he was, and again, this is me thinking, I think he was surprised at his lack of involvement considering he was active last week and is probably asking for a trade because he's like, well, what else should I do? Right now, I don't think he hates Cincinnati or wants out. I think he wants a chance. And you saw A.J. Green the same way, where it's just like the frustration is boiling, and I think part of it is a lack of communication. So when you have a coach who says, my culture is going to be built on this, and not only that, it's one thing if it's that and he's 18-3-1 with guys that are frustrated. No, he's 3-18-1. And so to me, the seat is getting really hot here. And you look at that schedule, and it's pretty overwhelming. Oh. And I don't know, when you're losing games like that to Phillip Rivers and making him look like it's 0-6 and he's going against Carson Chad and those guys and coming back the exact same way he did 14 years ago, that's scary. And I think that's on coaching when you lose by as many one-score games or as many one-score games as you are. So I think the communication aspect has been a nightmare, and you really got to be direct and respectful of veterans if you're going to bench them or demote them or cut their snaps. And it's a delicate thing, and I think that they failed in that aspect. I think that's pretty clear because of so many cases. I mean, even dating back to last year, Cordy Glenn. I know Cordy Glenn was a really weird situation, probably more on him. He's not even in the league anymore. But when you see all of these cases, at some point it isn't just the player every time. At some point it's the other way.
Yeah, no. There. If you go back to Andy Dalton last year, there seems to be an inordinate amount of guys, some of whom are fully vested veterans and some of whom are still trying to find their footing in this league, who have either expressed bewilderment about how they're being used, confusion about how they're being used, or upset with how something was handled. It's not just Carlos Dunlap. That's not an isolated incident. And so, yeah, I mean, the Dalton thing was they benched him around the trade deadline instead of giving him and his agent a chance to go find a situation elsewhere. If you get to like, well, here's what Carlos is owed, here's what Geno Atkins is owed, you at the very least could have leveled enough with Andy Dalton to give him a chance to pursue, not just for himself, but maybe something that could have benefited the Bengals long term. What ended up happening, they let Andy Dalton get away. Fine, great. He was terrible on Monday Night Football last night. I don't get anything in return for him. Like, they get in their own way. And so, yeah, But the overriding point I agree with, it is very fair to question if the foundation of what Zach Taylor was going to do was going to be communication. It seems like he's not doing that well, and I agree about the seat getting hot. He's got three games over the next 3 weeks against Cleveland, underdog. Tennessee is going to roll them. Good luck tackling Derrick Henry. Pittsburgh looks great right now. We are staring at the possibility of the bye being in their rearview mirror, and this team's going to be staring at 1-7-1. And even though the back half of the schedule is filled with beatable teams, they have the rest of the NFC East that isn't Philadelphia in front of them. Those teams are terrible. Miami, they'll have a chance to beat them. That said, 1-7-1 after what happened last year, players are already starting to pipe up in the middle of October. I can't imagine how bad things might get for this team and this coaching staff if we're sitting here at 1-7-1 and the idea of playing meaningful games in December is a pipe dream soon after Halloween.
I totally agree. And it, to me, Mo, it boils down to one thing. And I'm not trying to end Zach's tenure here or anything like that, but if he was the next Sean McVay, would they be 1-4-1?
No.
And that's the reality. Usually, like with Joe Burrow, what did it take you? Two quarters? Maybe three, because the offensive line was awful in the first half of week one to be like, oh, okay. But maybe it was just the final drive of the game, right, against the Chargers where he drives them down for you. You're like, oh, he's legit. Well, now we're talking about 3-18-1. So how many more games is it? He was given a mulligan last year. How much more of a sample size do we need before it's like, oh, okay, I mean, does he have to win six games? Is it five? Does he have to sweep the NFC East the rest of the way and beat Miami? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the bar is, and I think that's the interesting point, is if you're bringing him back next year after, five wins in two seasons, that's a hell of a thing to do, because the clock is already ticking on Joe Burrow. You cannot waste his rookie years.
Correct.
His rookie contract years.
Right. And so then I wonder how Joe Burrow is processing all of this. I know I'm late here. You know that as well as anybody. But I wonder how Joe Burrow is processing all of this. We went into this whole thing this offseason about, well, why would Joe want to come to Cincinnati? And I said often, you and I probably talked about this, it's not a matter of if Joe Burrow wants to come to Cincinnati. It is eventually going to be a matter of, does he want to stay here? If we assume this guy is going to be as good as we think and he's going to be healthy, he's going to get to a point where he's offered a contract extension by this team, and there's going to be an accumulation of things, an accumulation of experiences that are either going to say to him, that make him say to himself, yes, I want to stay here, or no, I don't want to stay here. I wonder, that said, and I know that's off in the distance, but I wonder how he's processing all of this. I wonder the mental note-taking. I wonder what he's thinking about watching Zach Taylor communicate with veteran players, watching players express some frustration publicly, I'm sure privately as well, about how they're being used, watching some of these game plans unfold. The Baltimore thing made no sense, where Burrow says on Wednesday, we're going to get blitzed, and then the game plan on Sunday, they didn't even try to pick up the blitz. That didn't make any sense to me. I wonder how – that to me is maybe the most important question. How is all of this playing with the guy who is the most important employee of that franchise?
And the thing with Burrow is, he's not going to be like, oh, get Taylor out of here. He's not the type to do that, I don't think, by any stretch. And he probably – Taylor's all he knows in the NFL, so he probably believes in him. But that's up to, Katie, Troy, Mike, and that front office, Duke, to evaluate it and say, all right, we have to make a decision here. Is this what we're rolling with? And if not, what are we doing, and how are we going to make this better? And I heard you talking to Paul earlier. I don't think there's any way you can bring in an outside play caller, right? I just don't. I think you have to decide, is Zach the guy that's going to maximize Joe Burrow, not only for 2020 or 2021, but beyond? And if the answer is no, then that's your answer. You can't date him for another year and hope it gets better. You're going to have to make a decision after the next 10 games. I'm okay with this entire season, but you're going to have to make a decision after the 2020 season.
The thing, though, is if you're expressing doubts about Zach Taylor now, is he really going to ease all those doubts over the next 10 games? I get it. They can win some games late in the season. They should. But are they really going to play to the level that you're like, you know what, the Bengals are in great hands with this head coach and this coaching staff? If you don't think that they are now, I don't think they're capable of doing enough over the next 10 games to change your mind.
That's fair. And I think there's a lot that can happen. You know, he can maybe he hears everything and trots out Geno Atkins for 45 snaps this weekend, and we see like, he can't do it anymore. Or, you know, he starts Dunlap week 8 and says, all right, Carlos, get in there and show him what you got. And he doesn't have it anymore. And you start to see, all right, you know, the guys that we were expecting to have success just can't anymore, even though those are just two of the many guys on that defensive line. The same thing with A.J., right? But to me, I keep coming to, I said, maximizing Burrow. And let's just dial it back. They hired him because he's an offensive coach, because he was supposed to maximize an offense. Well, who has he made better? Has he made Joe Mixon better?
No.
Has he made Tyler Boyd better? No. He's been great the whole time. Has he made A.J. Green better?
No.
John Ross?
No.
I mean, so, you know, he's got 10 games to show that. And to me, and I followed it, I know I wasn't covering him, I followed it last year.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that yet. And so we'll see if he does. But, yeah, I think it's an uphill climb, at least in my mind. But I'm not the one making the decision. And so that's the thing, is I wonder how the Bengals front office, the ones that are truly in power, how they feel right now.
For your sake, I hope, as I look at it outside, I hope John Ross gets traded somewhere warm. And we'll talk to you from there. Thanks so much.
Sounds good. Thanks, Bob.
Follow James on Twitter at James Rapine. We are late, 5:30. Sorry, Taryn. You're shaking your head. You're mad at me because I'm late now? No. Okay. 5:30 ESPN, 1530.
This baseball season, catch every game at Longneck Sports Grill. There are three locations in Northern Kentucky, Wilder, Hebron, and Richwood. Each one of them very easy to get to. Each one of them has 4K TVs all over the place, and the sound will be on. Plus, no place in Northern Kentucky has better wings, and there's also no more extensive beer selection than the one you'll find at Longneck's. Longneck Sports Grill. And by the way, when the weather gets warm, there's nothing like Longneck's patio. Longneck Sports Grill. Stay late. Come often.